still have your Bible open, Mark chapter 10. I want to speak today to the idea of begging for God. And we may be just a little uncomfortable today before we leave, but that's okay. One of the things about preaching that amazes me is what people say that I say, I never say. And I am thrilled if God can take what I say and change that so it's heard in a way that benefits the person more directly than if they had heard what I had actually spoken. Does that make any sense? I want you to become a beggar. I think you would benefit if you would become a beggar. You say, well, hold on, Pastor, just a minute. I don't really want to beg. And probably the reason you don't want to beg is that there's a mental picture that comes with the idea of being a beggar. If you are begging, it is assumed that you are poor, that your financial resources have been exhausted. Perhaps you have no place to live. You have no material possessions, probably. That's kind of the idea that we have about begging. And so it's not something that you probably pray for each evening. Lord, please allow my circumstances to bring me to the place where I can become a beggar. And yet, you could really benefit if you would choose today to be a beggar. Let's go back to the story here in Mark chapter 10. It says, now they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. That in itself presents a mental picture. A man dressed probably in ragged clothing, unkept, unbathed, and he's holding up the tin cup, begging for somebody to place some coins in the cup. Verse 47, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming by, he began to cry out, and he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. By another definition, that is begging. I did a very simple study this week, and I looked up the word beg and beggar and begging. All in the Old Testament, all in the New Testament. I read all the references, but I was surprised. There's not that many, just a few. It's also translated in other editions of the Bible to ask. For instance, when Joseph of Arimathea, they went to Pilate, the King James says they begged for the body of Christ. Other translations say they ask for the body of Christ. And the mental imagery is different, just in the wording. And I don't want to preach just on a word this morning. But when you beg, it seems to just create in our thinking this mental imagery of someone pleading earnestly, tenderly saying, help, please help. That's what I think of begging. Do you think of it that way? Maybe all other resources exhausted, and we beg, we plead. It's the deepest sincerity of the human heart, almost, is to beg. That is, unless you are the counterfeit beggar, and we have some of those, don't we? This man was blind and poor. Verse 48. Then many warned him to be quiet. I don't believe the story, but it's here. people actually telling him, don't go to Jesus. Don't go to him. And he just, in his blindness, he pushes them away and he says, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. Now that's begging, is it not? That's asking. That's pleading. Have mercy on me. So when I suggest to you this morning, it would be a good thing for you to become a beggar. In the distinctive spiritual needs that you have, it would be a good thing for you to beg God, to plead with God, to ask God to give you victory in your life. So they commanded the man to be brought to Jesus. They call the blind man. This is in verse 49. And they said to him, be of good cheer. Get up. Rise up. He is calling you. In verse 50, he arose and went to Jesus. Now, I think it was toward the middle of 2008, we studied this same passage. And we focused a little bit on some of the questions in the New Testament that Jesus asked. This is a classic example of the deep teaching ability of Christ. So the blind man comes to Jesus, and Jesus asks the question. It's recorded in verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? And the man is blind. He's begging. And Jesus asked that question. It's not for Jesus' benefit now. The blind man has just been begging. Lord Jesus. Others have tried to push him away, keep him out of the sight of Jesus. But he insisted on raising his voice louder and saying, Jesus, I'm over here. Give me mercy. He finally, against the odds of the congregation, comes to Christ. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want to see. Good eyes. Is that impossible for Jesus to come? Now, it's interesting, in another chapter, it speaks about two blind men being healed. Outside of Jericho, near Jericho, or in Jericho, all that part doesn't interest me as much as the fact that Jesus said to this man, who had just been begging, and he's still begging, but now it's turned to more of an asking. I ask you, let me see. Give me my eyes. And Jesus said, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Man's eyes opened up, it says in verse 52. Immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. Now the word begging to us is not a very popular word. In the New Testament, I suppose, we could use it for a number of the miracles of Jesus. In John chapter 4, the nobleman's son that was healed, he came to Jesus. He was actually begging. John chapter 9, the other blind man. John chapter 5, the man there at the pool of Bethesda. Have you ever really begged? Earnestly begged? I wonder what would happen today if suddenly a great calamity were to strike and we were left with nothing. Sometimes I grumble when it's too hot. Sometimes I grumble when it's too cold. This doesn't work right. That doesn't fit properly. Schedules don't always go as designed. What would happen, though, if suddenly, almost instantaneously, all that I have was wiped away? Well, let's transfer it from me to you. I mean, just by the touch of a button, the heat comes on, the air conditioner works, you know, by season, it doesn't matter that much in our homes. We turn the key in the car, we mash the gas with our foot, we can travel long distances. But just what if our shelter were taken away? Our transportation were removed. I almost messed up just a moment ago. I had turned my cell phone off up here. I didn't want you to hear it, but August saw me. Communication instantly taken away. No satellite. No direct TV or Comcast. Email, internet, everything just removed. Displaced, if you please, maybe as a refugee. What would we do? I think we would start begging. That's what I think. God, give me back that which I have, and I promise I will never complain again. We would begin to ask God to restore us with all the blessings that we had taken for granted. Possibility, or is it going to happen? Let's study about that maybe some other time. Turn with me to the book of Acts, if you So by one definition of begging, then, it's when we ask God for something, we plead with God to either give us what we don't have or to restore back to us that which we have lost. That can be, in a spiritual sense, forgiveness of sin, a right standing with God, or that can be of a material nature. That's one definition of begging God. In Acts chapter 1, we're introduced to another definition. The last words that Jesus said, and I've never seen this until just this week. In my study, thinking about this Sabbath, this came to me. Speaking to the disciples there, he says in verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." So there's Christ. He's giving them the last discourse on earth. While he's here, he's about to ascend upward. And he says, "Men, it's going to happen. You are going to be commissioned. I'm giving you the call today. It's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to anoint you with such mighty power that you will do even greater works than I do." I'm sure those men had no idea of the full understanding of that commission. They were being commissioned. The burden was being placed upon those men, listen to me, to beg for God. In the sense of material things, at times, in the sense certainly of spiritual things, but by the second definition of begging, they were being told of God, you are going to do this. Yet they were volunteers. But Jesus says, you will do this. You will beg for me. Begging for God? What do you mean? I understand about begging for spiritual help, forgiveness of sin. I understand about begging for physical healing of eyes and limbs and health and all of that, and of things and prosperity. Yes. But begging for God? We've not embraced this doctrine. As a church, we've not seen it clearly. It's not been shown to us. We've not researched it. We've not studied this out carefully enough. But as an introduction this morning, I want you to think this idea might really have a benefit to you. If you can become a beggar for God, another word for beg is ask. You ask for God. I've told you my experience and training as a carpet salesman. And I was a good carpet salesman. If you came into Collegedale Interiors and you had ever even remotely thought about having black and red shag carpet, you left with it in your vehicle. I was a good carpet salesman. I always enjoyed the part of coming down to the closure part. And every salesman knows the skills of closing. What would I have to do today for you to buy this carpet? That's the question. Is it the price? Is it the color? You always sell to the woman because the man doesn't care. You want him to think he's making the decision, but she's really making it. That's the art of salesmanship. What would I have to do today for our men to cut this carpet? And tomorrow morning, you could be walking on a beautiful new floor. Somehow, information turns into transformation. An act of behavior follows the information. I was in a meeting this week, and I was caught completely off guard. Had no idea this was going to come up. And I looked around in the meeting there, and others were thinking the same as I could just see it on their faces. We had two graduating seniors and one sophomore student. And I know there's a time appropriate to talk about all things. I know that. Some things I'm just more comfortable talking about with my own gender. But I believe in information. So being introduced, these three young people were going to talk to us about comprehensive sex education. I don't know who to look at this morning, so I'm looking at them. Every one of us in the room were close to 50. I took those classes when I was in college 35 years ago or so. And I didn't understand the definition of the word comprehensive. I understood the rest of the story. that was just a concern to me. My friend, Roger over here, who pastors the Methodist Church, he asked the question. I didn't say a word. I just sat and listened. Believe it or not, I kept my mouth closed. I want to know what an organization is promoting and what they stand for before I say I support it. And I'm still not clear of everything that the organization supports and teaches, but I want to be a part of that which benefits our community and builds goodwill and benefits all concerned. There was one thing for certain. In that meeting, those three young people were commissioned. They were so focused. They talked about going to Atlanta. They talked about going to Washington and meeting with people who make legislative decisions in high school curriculum and middle school curriculum. All of these things were just meshed together, and they had the facts memorized and who had voted for what. I wasn't sure of all the organization was promoting, but I was sure that those young people were there asking our Rotary Club for the full support. I was really expecting them to ask for a donation. That didn't happen. So, after the question and answer session sort of had a little lull in it, I asked the question. I said, I've been listening here to our conversation today. Can I ask you a very personal question? And the room got so quiet. I thought I had really said the same thing, or they had heard something in a way that I didn't intend to say it. Can I ask you a personal question? I said, what is it that you want us to do? I don't know that I understand everything this organization stands for, but I understand that something has moved each of you to being mission-minded. You are so focused. You are really intent on this group of people knowing that you exist. You know what the answer was? We want somebody to listen. We want somebody to listen. They have the right topic. Can generate interest with that topic. Where you go with it from there, you know, that's another story. These men in Acts chapter 1 were being retrained. That's really what it's saying. Jesus says when the Holy Spirit comes, you are going to change your outlook, your focus, your reason for living and existence is going to take on a deeper dimension than ever before. Those men would become beggars for God. Now, this is the second definition, begging for God. And I want you to have it. When you beg for God, you are part of His organization, part of His administrative body. You are part of His family, and you ask and you share and you beg other people to receive the story of salvation and then to embrace that which the story of salvation leads people to believe. If you would choose to become a beggar for God, you would ask could share with people intentionally at times and never say a word. That in itself is a distinctive form of consoling. But to beg for God with the mission of God, with the purpose of God, it puts you within a movement where the membership is closer than even in a familial situation. I'm thankful that it's happening here. I feel privileged to be part of this church family in this community. God is working upon our hearts. God is giving us a renewed vision of what He can do in us. I think of Paul. He was truly converted. Men like Silas would become partners, and then they could have some dissension, but then they would come back together. It was the cause of good, the cause of begging for God, of being part of that salesmanship team that would unite them together forever. I don't know if I upset the group at Ranger this morning or not. But I told them that sometimes they lie. I didn't mean to make anyone upset, because we've talked about this before. I've preached a sermon on taking off the mask. There's a time appropriate to take off the mask. We don't always do it on Sabbath morning as we're leaving. But it is true that even in our congregation today, there is hurt, there is sorrow, there's anxiety about the future. God sees in us right now that which we are harboring. Not an appropriate time to share everything. At times, yes. But God sees inside right now each one of us. He knows what it is that keeps you from being 100% for Him. He knows whether it's habits. He knows whether it's genetics. Everything is under His eye. He sees it all. When He gave those men that call in Acts chapter 1, they had a choice. The Bible reads like they would do that, but they would become slaves by choice. They were free people. They would become a beggar for God and do it respectfully, intentionally. That became life. We're so caught up in paying off a house, in building a career, in getting educated. I mean, it just goes on and on. And then as you get older, like my generation with kids and grandkids, it's not enough that you can't even run your own life. You try to run your kids' life. Stephanie's back there shaking her head, yes. But to purposefully work for God is a privilege. It's a great thing. It is a good thing. It's not bad. If you would choose today to become a beggar for God, if you would allow God to do what He wants to do inside your brain today, to just get in there with His big mixer and stir it all up and squeeze out that which should not be there, you would be a happier person. Your families would be blessed. Work of God would move forward. What would it take for you to become a beggar today? What would it require? What could I do today let's just read. Two definitions of faith. If I could do something, what would it be today? In a physical sense, I know I can pray for you. I can pray for healing. I can resource for you. I can provide people and books and materials and study guides and videos. I know I can do that. If you have a spiritual problem, we can take it to God. If you have a physical problem, maybe we can work to try to get some help in some way. That's one definition of begging. We ask God, make me whole again, spiritually, physically, emotionally. The second definition of begging for God is to become a spokesperson for God, to promote God, to be an advertising agent for Christ. If I could do it this morning, I want to do it for you. I want to make it happen. What will it take? Only you know the answer. The benefits are fantastic. Would you let me read to you an answer to this question that I just asked you that can fit every one of us today? And it's rare that you can find an answer that fits everybody. And it's not just an answer that says, love Jesus. This is a very pointed response. But the words will come up on the screen, but I want to read here from hymn number 567. And I hope this will bless your heart today. This is the answer. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. Have thine own way, Lord. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. It's like the beggar, isn't it? Help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely it's thine. Touch me, heal me, Savior divine. Have thine own way, Lord. Stand in your presence. Hold over my being absolute sway. Filled with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Lord, as we close our eyes, our heads are bowed, we're thinking about the message of this hour and what it means to beg for you, to live for you. We are anxious to see what you will do for us. We come into your presence knowing that we have sometimes misrepresented the truth. We've not always lived like we should. We've done things that have been displeasing to you. Angels have covered their eyes in shame. And yet we find ourselves here on this beautiful Sabbath morning in your presence with a hope in our heart that says, I am forgiven. And that your power supersedes our weaknesses. God, there's not a person here today standing who would choose otherwise than to be saved. Grant us the power, as we've just been singing, that you would have your way in our life. That you would extend this moment of reverence and quietness with you, in which right now we feel so clean and so pure and so righteous, that we could share that with other people. How that the dirty has been cleaned up. How that we've been blinded to sin, but now we see its awfulness. And with respect, we ask that you would give us the ability to share that with other people. For those of us who feel comfortably speaking, for those who feel more gifted in just living a Christian life, unite our thoughts and our effort together for your glory, for the upbuilding of thy kingdom, and grant that we may each be saved. We love you, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name.